Elliot.
Oh.
Did you see Twitter having a problem with shit-talking in esports this week?
Twitter always has a problem. So, yes. I'm always seeing Twitter having problems.
So, if you guys haven't, like, watched Cologne, kind of understandable up till this point, but start watching now because we're in playoffs. But they've had this setup where it's like the hall, I think they call it the Hall of Heroes or the Hall of Champions.
Hall of Heroes is Katowice, I believe, so it's probably the Hall of Champions.
It's the Hall of something. And they've got like four teams on one side and four teams on the other side, and they all face each other. And they have them set up so that way teams who are facing each other, right? The whole time. And they've got this like thing called the magic glass in the middle that is basically just glass that when you put electricity into it, it fogs up. So that way, in between rounds, you can see the other team and make lewd gestures towards the other team. But
not that we would ever do such a thing.
Not that we would ever do that. No. But in the middle of the round, you can't see the other team. So it means that you have the ability of like some amount of privacy, and they're not reading your like words and shit, like reading your mouth and stuff.
That's a shame. Can you imagine if they could see you the whole time, and you would just like, you could just do some ventriloquism?
Ooh, that would be interesting.
That would be amazing. So it would look like you're saying, right, we're going to default and then hit B. And what you were actually doing was rushing A. That would be incredible.
We need to dig more into this at a later date. Point being is a lot of people got upset with Cadian, famed heroic shitposter, because he kept standing up and yelling at the other team.
All right. The thing people have a problem with isn't that Cadian's talking shit. It's that he's doing it to a perceived massive underdog. People don't like punching down. When you're screaming at the Mongols that they're fucking noobs, it's like, A, they were losing at the time, so what does that make you? And B, it's just like, pick on someone your own size. That's why people are upset. I don't think it's the fact that he's talking shit, because everyone was talking shit. It's the fact that he's doing it to a team that are perceived as like...
I thought it was happening before he was even shit-talking the Mongols.
No, the one that people got upset at was when he stood up at the Mongols and called them fucking noobs. And it's like, well, it's kind of... The reason I have a problem with it is because who the fuck still says noobs in 2023? I haven't heard that word, like... The word noob sounded a bit silly when people called it you on Call of Duty World at War when I was 10. It sounds ridiculous now from a grown man. That's my problem with it.
I don't know. I'm of the opinion of like, fuck it, who cares? I want more shit talking esports, and realistically,
I want better shit talking.
Mongols should have gotten up and started shit talking Cadian because they almost brought that game back.
I'm not sure how. Like, I'm not sure many of them speak good enough English.
Start you talking English. To Mongolian.
They probably did. They should do. Have you ever seen the Mongolian throat singing? They should do that at them.
It's like you've seen like the pre rugby matches, like New Zealand does their
the haka. The,
like, they should have that. Can we get countries to start doing traditional dances prior to Counter-Strike games?
Absolutely.
I'm all in for it. On today's episode of Overtime on Inferno, we'll be talking about IEM Cologne, IEM Cologne, IEM Cologne, and...
TSM.
TSM.
or lack thereof.
We'll get into all of that, but first, intro music. Welcome to Overtime on Inferno. My name is Logan. This is Elliot. We're talking about... IEM Cologne today, Cologne, all that jazz.
If you're German.
If
you are German, you probably hate the way I said that, but I don't care.
We've gone past it. We want to talk about the play-in first, because that's the first bit to talk about. Last week when we were here, we didn't really have any like certainty of what teams were going through. We just knew that Into the Breach and Greyhound were out. We now know that there's some more teams that are out than that. Let's talk about some of them. Into the Breach and Greyhound, I feel like we touched on last week. If we didn't, the quick TLDR is Australian and not British, but British.
Yeah, they're not English anymore, which is why they lost.
Yeah. Next team on the list for us to talk about. Again, we're gonna try and speed through these because we do really want to talk about the playoffs, and that's the important bit today. Big. They're German, but not German enough.
I would argue they're too German. They were better when they had Giantares.
So they either need to have less or more Germans, but the current amount of German is not the correct amount of German.
It's getting a bit dangerous, this conversation. Let's be fair to them. They weren't playing with their full roster. When we saw them play with Mantu at Blast, Mantu is their best player by some distance. So the fact that they were in the conversation even without him is, you know, something, I guess. They don't look great. Let's keep it real. They don't look great.
No.
Tabson isn't a superstar at the moment, which really hinders them because he was their best player.
And he needed
the last about a year ago. But
the other thing is we touched on this, the way that this team was constructed was around Tabson being the greatest German player of all time and allowing Sin to be the IGL and allowing Tabson to have a little bit more.
But apparently Sin hasn't fully taken over in-game leader duties yet. So I don't know. Big seems to have been in a limbo state for the last 18 months. They feel like they're in purgatory. They never have their full roster.
I think that they're still in limbo. I think they're going to be in limbo for a bit of time now.
They had the problems with Favon. They had problems with Searson. They now don't have Mantu for an event. Obviously, that's because their academy team did so well, whatever. But it feels like they just never have their full roster.
You know, that's a good point. We can't say anything about Big at this event because Big wasn't there.
Big Academy. Yeah. I don't know, man. I have nothing to say about Big because we never see their full roster. And until we see their full roster, I can't be sure if they're any good. I'm pretty sure they're not.
Complexity. They just kind of...
Same old.
Yeah. I think that replacing Fang with a leash absolutely brought their ceiling up, brought their floor up. But it was so tragically low to begin with that I don't think that bringing the floor and the ceiling up actually really helped.
Yeah.
And as this is like a gut reaction from watching like what, 3 games from them, like it's not I haven't done a case study on 37 maps of them, but
the thing with complexity is you have to at some point just accept disappointment as a fan. You just have to accept that they're going to disappoint you at every event. You'll be much happier.
Yeah, it's like being a Mets fan. It's just you're constantly disappointed.
Or a Trailblazers fan.
I would have said Cowboys fan because that would have worked with the whole ownership group. But the Cowboys are not terrible, so I can't really.
Yeah, I went with Trailblazers because I'm pretty sure they haven't won anything in a long time.
No, but they have Damian Lillard.
And Complexity have Elige.
That's a good point. let's talk about Elige's old team. Liquid looked like... Well, if at Blast we thought that this was a team that had some runway, some ability to be able to do something cool with these like new players, and there was a lot of like room to grow, this team felt like our worst nightmare on everyone that we thought was going to be too aggressive was too aggressive. Everyone that we thought was going to be too passive was too passive. And OC is standing in the middle with both his arms out, holding on for dear life, trying to make the two groups together.
Like, he is the center of the Jaeger bomb.
Like, yeah, I don't, it's going to be an event by event metric on how we grade Liquid, because
I think the problem with Liquid is it doesn't feel like their ceiling has moved.
No, it feels like their floor has moved down and they will be intoxicatingly inconsistent.
Yeah.
I say intoxicating. Yeah,
basically.
You're going to always want to watch because you don't know what Liquid's going to show up that day.
Yeah. Like, win or lose, Patsy is always fun to watch.
Yeah. It's weird. Apex, I think this was
look good. The Apex looks really good. They didn't qualify. I mean, they lost to Astralis, who we now know are genuinely very good. Mm-hmm. And they lost a really close game to somebody else. OG. That one's not great. But OG probably looked better than we expected as well. Apex don't look bad at all. You would say they look better than Complexity. They probably look on a par, if not slightly better than Team Liquid. That's my gut reaction. And given they had a player stolen from them just after, you know, a bit of a miracle run, probably not too gutted for that. Like, they're still good. Like, they still have Sticko and Jakaim, and
they still have Kixen. It's not like they've changed their entire system around it.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They just got Satsunito, who looked pretty good at this event. He had some really good maps.
Yeah, they just had bad matchups.
Yeah, I think the OG game will sting, but they probably should have won that as well.
Yeah. Imperial is a team.
They came in with no expectations. They didn't do themselves, like, they did themselves justice, I think. Like, they were fine.
I think Henny looked fucking great this event.
Henny does this. Like, he can play at tier one when he fancies it.
I want to continue to see Henny playing at tier one. Henny's super fun to watch to play. I purposely skipped this team before. We're gonna double back because we'll get into Cologne spots now, and we gotta talk about Furia. this one's gonna be a little bit longer.
Perfection takes time. You can't rush perfection.
You can't rush perfection.
I think they have a bit of an identity crisis at the moment. All right, so there are two points to make. One is that they do have Fallen and Art, and you know, maybe there's some sort of clashing there. It's going to take a little while for Fallen to, because if you remember, like, Peak SK, one thing they were really famous for was they would get an opening kill and they would freeze for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then execute, which at the time was quite rare, which obviously is antithetical to everything Furia do. And that is going to take time to swap. But secondly, Kay Serato, his father, passed away like a week before Cologne.
Yeah.
And you could tell he wasn't right. Like, he was just not the Kay Serato we're used to. Furia without a fit and firing Kay Serato are obviously not as good. And I think those extraneous circumstances are quite pertinent to why they didn't show up.
I think for right now, we're going to leave the Furia reading scale on a question mark.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of them, we're still like, if you have a dial, our confidence meter is pretty low on all these, but we're starting to get like an amount of idea. I don't think we'll have a good idea of Furia for a bit. Unlike basically every other team we've talked about, they've switched IGLs.
Yeah, which is a system of
and players in the system who have played for years with the same IGL, right? Art, Yuri, and Caserato have played their system for the last, like, what, 5 years?
Yeah.
Same team, same system. They've switched players around them, and they're switching systems now. This is going to be the one that's going to be, like, a longer set of
especially as Art is still there and not in-game leading, and that is a difficult adjustment to make. When you're so used to being the main voice, it's really difficult to give up control and stay on the team.
Let's move on to the teams who made it through to Cologne. We'll touch on them quick because a lot of them we'll talk about in the actual Cologne event. OG, a little bit of a surprise, I think, for everyone.
A lot of people were unsure as to who the star of this team would be.
And Regali.
Well, I think Regali was sort of a given, but like the star rifler, but they've shown enough that both Fascia and Nexa can carry maps. My worry is that Fascia is still frighteningly inconsistent. He's not a consistent star, and that can be fine. I mean, Ent's one of the best teams in the world, and I would say Diha is also like very inconsistent. But they have more consistent pieces and OG have they sort of have like Fiku, who is very consistent at what he does. Like Fiku is very good at what he does. It's just that what he does isn't very flashy. Kito, you can see why. I've always quite liked Kito, because when you watch him, like, his mechanics are really clean. On OG, he's actually given a little bit of room to flex those mechanics, whereas on Big, as he said himself, like, he doesn't really get those opportunities. And again, you see maps from him where he's just like, he's just running in and ripping heads off, and he looks like a superstar. That won't happen consistently because he's so aggressive, and that's fine. Like, I don't think OG are ever going to be a consistent team, but they can be a solid, like, 10th to 12th place team with upset potential. Like, they do have more upside than people thought, but they probably have more downside than people thought. Whereas, like, when you look at that team, it looks like a bunch of consistent players in Regali, when it's actually a bunch of inconsistent players in Regali.
Yeah, I don't know. This is another one of the teams that's getting the same treatment as Furia to me. We saw a little bit more of them because we saw them through Blast, but this is a brand new set of five people. I mean, yeah. I guess Fiku and Nexa played together before, but like, it's a brand new set of five people. Let's be honest. So I think this is going to be a little bit different on how everything gets portrayed.
Yeah.
Across the board. NIP made it through by the skin of their teeth. Like, really by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah.
This team is, well, I think the easiest way to describe it is it's NIP. If you look at them about 2 years ago and everything we said then, it's all true.
If I had to describe NIP in one word, it would be boring. That's their biggest crime. Their biggest crime is that NIP are boring. They've made like no. Okay, they bought back a player they had before, and then kept all the other pieces the same. And it's like, what do you expect is going to change? What do you think is going to happen? Rez isn't going to become a superstar. Brolan is not going to become a superstar. These players are not ever going to do anything other than make it to the main stage and then lose. Like, it's. They bore me so much, man. I don't want NIP. I don't want NIP at main events because they don't do anything. Like,
yeah,
you know when people used to talk about like, oh, like the Asian minor and the CIS minor. Like, we don't want these teams because you could have all these EU tier two teams that are better. And it's like, yes, but I've seen all these EU tier two teams. I've seen NIP for a year do absolutely nothing over and over again. I don't want to watch them again. I would much rather watch the third best Asian team than NIP at one of these events, because at least they might do something.
Yeah. We'll get into one of those teams in a moment. Talk about Nine really, really quickly. This team looks exactly as good as it did previously, I think.
I thought Nine were very unlucky. Very unlucky.
Oh no, they got really shafted on games that they had to play. They played against OG and won in overtime barely. Then they had to play against Fnatic, who we'll talk about Fnatic in a bit. And then they had to win against Liquid to get through. Like, it's not three easy games at the end of the day.
And they did. They beat Liquid to get through. Probably more than they expect. I mean, even though we are getting used to watching Nine at these events now. Mm-hmm. And they're still like, you still kind of watch them expecting at some point that they're going to be shown up. And
then they don't get shown
up. They don't. Like, they're just really solid.
The last team that got through in the 5th through 8th category is the Mongols.
Yep. They were great.
They reminded everyone why everyone was hyped about them during Kato at the beginning of the year. Because they were good.
They basically achieve the same as what NIP do at any event. And they do it in a much more fun way.
Invite Mongols to every event instead of NIP.
They kind of get to most of them anyway. they made changes that from the outside and certainly from our sort of our sort of viewpoint on the West didn't make a whole lot of sense. I said last week I had concerns about this team, right?
I think we specifically said we had concerns about Mazinho.
Yeah.
And 9-10.
Yeah. And guess I was like, I don't know anything about them. And when you look at them from the outside, they don't look great.
Yep.
I'm still not convinced 9-10 is that good. But Mazinho, remarkably good. Given how few games he's played, and how few of them were against anyone you've heard of, never mind of any good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw Tea Time was tweeting. He was gloating a little bit about how people kept saying these moves made no sense. But when he was on our podcast, he talked about how he didn't think Annihilation was very good and how he didn't think Bartak was very good. And they replaced both of them. 9-10 is probably better than Annihilation. Mzinho is definitely better than his brother Bartak.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. The concern is they brought in Hasteka apparently to in-game lead, but Blitz is back in-game leading. In which case, why is Hasteka still there? I know it's probably hard to replace him. Again, the talent in Mongolia, there's probably more talent than we're aware of, almost certainly. Oh,
definitely.
And there will be somebody out there who can replace him, but I don't know. When you watch Hasteka play, he's not a tier one player. But Techno, he's a tier one player.
Here's the thing, is that while it matters on every other team, who cares? Because Techno is so fucking good, and Mazinho has just been so good as well, that they Hasteka being a slightly below average tier one player, a definitely below average
tier one player. Let's go with considerably below average.
Gets made up for the fact because of those two.
Yeah, yeah. Techno and Blitz are both great. Techno, he's 18. He was doing interviews in English.
The GOAT.
I'm not convinced he'll be on the Mongols for that long, and not because he's going to get cut. I think
it's because someone will look at getting him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If I was Evil Geniuses or Complexity.
Oh, God, no, don't send to EG hell.
Well, no, I'm saying if I was on EG and I was trying to build a team and I wanted some English speakers who weren't American. All I'm saying is, I think he improves Complexity.
And let's move on now to Astralis, who's a team that we did not expect to be good.
I expected them to be decent. Yeah. They're better than I thought they would be.
Yeah, I was going to say, good is the wrong statement here. They look like they've gotten their shit together.
Yeah, it's really sad, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, I hate that.
It's really disappointing. I don't want to see Astralis be good again. We've had enough of Astralis being good. Let somebody else be good for a bit.
Yeah. Speaking of letting someone else be good, Maus, they've let Suhi cook.
Yeah. Maus looked really good until they didn't.
Yeah.
And they got absolutely fisted by Astralis, by Vitality and then Astralis.
We'll talk about that in a second. Fnatic made their way through as well, and Monty made their way through as well. I want to get through the plans, and then let's talk about
Fnatic remain baffling.
Yeah.
Fnatic are potentially the most baffling team I've ever seen. Consistently mental team. They make no sense whatsoever. So they made it through the play-ins really comfortably. And I was okay, right. We've seen Afros popping off. Mezzi, unshackled, looks unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm.
They get to the group stage. I think they won their opening game, if I remember rightly.
That sounds right.
And then they just they had to play.
They played Ents in the second round.
Yeah, okay. So you lose to Ents. I think they were quite close to beating Ents as well. I think on map 3 they had a really good T side and then lost or something.
No, they lost 0-2. It was two okay-ish close maps. They lost to Cloud9 in the opener with the last map going overtime. That's what you were thinking of, the third map Angel.
Oh, so it was against... Okay, yeah. I remember. I think against Ents as well, they had some good T sides and then they just fell apart on CT side. But they just don't make any sense. The games they should win, they never do. And every time they look good in one map, the player who popped off is just terrible in the next. Afro was remarkably consistent throughout the event. Oh, okay. So the game, they beat Cloud9 2-1, and you're thinking, right, like, right, Fnatic are here. Like, they've made it click. Dexter rejuvenated, looks great. Mezzi, yeah, fantastic against Cloud9. They won it. And they were 9-6 down on Ancient going into their T side, and they had a 9-6 half. And then they played Gamer Legion in like an elimination game. Again, we'll get to Gamer Legion in a second, but when you're Fnatic, you've got to be beating Gamer Legion in an elimination game in the lower bracket. Like, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you've already beaten Cloud9. You have to be thinking that is a winnable game. And then as soon as you get any hope whatsoever on Fnatic, they just choke. The game I was thinking of was against Ents. They had an 8-round T half on Overpass. They got 8 T rounds on their own pick. Overpass.
Yeah.
Lost Super the map. Lost the map in regulation.
Yeah.
It's just every time they start to look good, they just fall apart inexplicably. It's really bizarre. And against Gamer Legion, they choked the final map. It didn't help that Mezzi, who was the superstar they were pinning their hopes on, kind of disappeared a little bit. You know, he wasn't good in the Gamer Legion series. It happens. Fine. Would have been fine because Dexter stepped up, and then at 15-13 on map 3, Dexter gets caught with his knife out in the middle of B site on Ancient, rotating because there was a smoke thrown on A.
Yeah.
And then at 15-14, he got caught jumping in the middle of B site as they came up, I think it was. So Dexter was brilliant until those last like 2 or 3 rounds on Ancient, where he just kind of threw.
He thought he was in Australia again.
It's so frustrating to watch because they're so close to being good. And Afro looks fantastic. Like, very reliable. Doesn't miss a lot. Hits some difficult ones. Seems to always be... See, it always feels like people are peeking into Afro.
Yeah, and not Afro having to make his own space. Seems.
But then I also saw him, like, quickscope Shiro at close range. Like, he was dominating Shiro on Ancient. The only times I saw him peek into people was Shiro, and he seemed to kill him. He looks really good. Mezzi, we know, can be really good. Dexter's kind of fragging on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And then they still lose to Gamer Legion and go out, and all you can think about is the fact that they choked to Gamer Legion. But maybe Gamer Legion are good?
Let's talk about them. Gamer Legion, so teams that are here in this group, because the Gamer Legion group and the Fnatic group is the same group, right? Heroic, Mongols, Gamer Legion, Monty, Cloud9, Fnatic, Ents, and Nine, which if you started watching Counter-Strike a year ago and you hadn't watched it for a year, you'd go, holy shit, this is the easiest group I've ever fucking seen in my life, because the other group has Vitality and Na'Vi and Mouse and G2 and FaZe and shit. This group is difficult. It's still probably the easier group, but this group's difficult. So Heroic go up and beat on Mongols first round. Mongols end up getting knocked out by Gamer Legion in the lower bracket.
You say they beat up on them. Mongols were very, very, very close to 2-0-ing Heroic. Like, 15-13 up on Overpass. They have one of the most brilliant rounds I've ever seen on the T side. And then they lose a 3v3.
Mm-hmm.
On the B site, the bomb gets killed on the cross. They get the bomb down. Techno's got the flank, and he should get at least one, maybe two kills. And he kind of whiffs the first and takes too long, and then he doesn't, and then he loses the clutch. But like, it could have been Heroic versus Gamer Legion in the lower bracket. Gamer Legion could have just gone out there and then.
Yeah. So, Mongols go down to lower bracket, get knocked out by Gamer Legion.
That was a good game as well.
Yeah. Mongols didn't have a bad game. Every game that Mongols had was an enjoyable game. Gamer Legion, Monty. Gamer Legion goes down to lower bracket, gets beat 2-0 by Monty. The two overperforming teams from the last major, right? Those two plus Into the Breach are your big overperformers, and they're back again. Cloud9 lost to Fnatic. We just talked about that. This was a Cloud9 without Axile. So they made all their moves to get Shiro, Hobbit, Axile, Electronic Perfecto, and something happened with Axile's visa. So Buster.
We're hoping he's back for playoffs, but they don't seem so certain about it now.
No one said anything yet.
I think they said on broadcast they weren't sure. So
until that point, Buster's playing. He's been
fine. Okay. He hasn't practiced with the team, so you can't.
He has been about as good as I expect a stand-in to be.
Yeah,
but the rest of this team, the Electronic and Perfecto moves are showing themselves already.
Yeah, like this team in theory should be at least the third best team in the world.
Yeah, Shiro's looked really, really good with these additions. Not that he didn't look good previously.
Well, Like again, there is, once they have Axael, there is no weakness in this team. They should just be the best team in the world, really. Like, time will tell.
Yeah, and then Ents lose to 9. We get an upper bracket final of Heroic and Ents, a lower bracket final of Gamer Legion Cloud 9. Ents, Cloud 9, and Heroic all go through to playoffs. If you looked at this group ahead of time, that's probably the three teams I would have said that we're going to get through.
Yeah.
It was much more difficult to get to our end point, though, I think, than anyone would have generally guessed. Cloud9 running through lower bracket, Gamer Legion putting up a huge fight, Mongols almost toppling two teams who you think could probably get out real quick. Obviously, they didn't topple them, but
they really should have beaten Heroic. It would have been so fun.
It looked like they were about to. Group B was Vitality, OG, Na'Vi, Mouse, G2, Astralis, FaZe, and NIP. Which again sounds like the group of death, and it seemed like it kind of was to a degree. Vitality looked like Vitality.
Yeah, they were incredibly dominant until they played G2, and then G2 actually beat them.
Yeah, let's talk about G2 for a second, because G2 did this genius tactic over the offseason and did nothing.
Yep.
Actually, they made memes about doing nothing, and then they did.
I mean, you're sort of being, you know, flippant about that. But when everyone else is changing, sometimes just standing still is the best thing you could do, because other people's, you know, their abilities going up and down like this. If your level is here, and they, even if they come in hot, they still have to like gel and get better over time. Whereas you've already built that chemistry. We had concerns about that said chemistry, that maybe like they didn't really believe in Hooksy, but I don't know. They look near unstoppable so far. Them and Ents are straight in the semifinals, and both deserve it. Ents in that third map against Heroic won some rounds that can only be described as complete bullshit. Like, they won 2 2v4s and a 1v3 in a 16-14 win. It doesn't happen very often. I mean, against Heroic, that doesn't happen very often. Whereas G2, we're just better than Vitality in over three maps, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say that they were. There's two like bigger teams I want to talk about here. So Astralis made their way through the lower bracket. They lost to G2 and then absolutely smashed their entire like way through. So they smashed NIP. They like legitimately destroyed Mouse Sports. 16-8 on Ancient is disgusting.
That game was not it was 16-8, 16-11, and it wasn't that close. Like,
no,
that scoreline flatters Mouse. I watched that game start to finish. Mouse were not in that game.
Yeah, the NIP, the raid. So I hadn't looked at stats for these games until just now, and as I pull it up, the NIP game where Astralis won both maps 16-6. I don't think I've seen a game in a long time that's been 1.5, 1.48, 1.47.
Borup was ridiculous in that game. Just that's why when we talk about NIP not having like star riflers. Borup dropped to 1.47 on them. What more proof do you need that they can't rifle?
So,
Borup's not a bad player, but he's also not, you know, He's not Kei Sarato.
No, he's not. He's not a world-class Riot player.
No.
I don't think anyone would say. I want to talk about Na'Vi really quick, who for the first time in the organization's history will not make Cologne... Second time in organization history, will not make Cologne playoff. The other time they didn't do it was on the online Cologne in 2020, which no one counts, so who cares? I still don't know how to talk about this Na'Vi. Symbol does not
that
look
team,
the same
you have
person.
To give that team a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Because it, but my gut feeling has always and will always be that that team is too weird to work. And I won't go any further than that. What I will say is Bit looked really good again, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
He's back. That's always nice.
Yeah. Only other team I really have a strong desire to talk about here quickly is FaZe, who also did not make it through.
Yeah.
Kind of looked all over the place.
It kind of looked dog shit. I'm not going to lie. The guy didn't look good at all. They snuck past NIP, got 2-0'd by G2 and 2-0'd by Na'Vi.
Like, I'm just convinced that all of FaZe is just not playing Global Offensive anymore. They're just all playing CS2.
I think they're just... I don't know. So this won't make any sense to you, but I'm hoping to somebody it'll make sense.
Okay.
You can't outrun XG forever. Like you cannot consistently go 15-10 down and win. That's not possible. The fact that they did it for like 6 months is absurd. Every game they looked like losing, they would just somehow win. And you just can't do that forever. Like, mm-hmm. At some point, you have to start playing before you're 15-10 down. You can't cheat death for that long. I don't know if you've ever seen Final Destination. When you're marked for death, you're not outrunning it forever. Mm-hmm. And FaZe outran it for far longer than they had any right to it. The amount of games they have won from unwinnable positions is silly, and I think it's catching up on them. And it's you can call it whatever. You can call it like championship mentality. You can call it anything you want. And sure, there is a level of mentality to that is impressive. But a true champion doesn't go 15-10 down in the first place. It's as simple as that. They won too many games where they couldn't win. Eventually that catches up with you.
So playoffs,
they're on
are
a come down.
Playoffs are this weekend.
Yes.
We'll talk about them next week. Next week's going to be a weird episode, but we'll have a good time. But we'll talk about the playoffs next week. Big picture that you need to know ahead of this coming weekend. It's Vitality versus Cloud9 and Heroic versus Astralis to start your weekend off. Ents will face the winner of Vitality Cloud9. G2 will face the winner of Heroic Astralis. And then the winners of those will play on Sunday for the one of the few remaining best of five finals that we have left. Thank God that there's only
rightfully
a couple
so.
Of them left.
I think IM Cologne being a best of five is perfectly fine.
I'm okay with Cologne being a best of five. I'm not okay with many other of them being a best of five.
The thing is, no matter who makes the final here, that best of five will be a kick off. Like,
yeah.
Be a great one.
Do you have any predictions? I know we're not in the prediction game.
Let me look at the bracket, because I have the teams I think are the two best in the world, but unfortunately they meet in the semis.
Yeah.
Which would be Ents and Vitality.
Yeah.
I think Ents and Vitality might be the two best teams in the world. G2 are also in there. I would really like to see Ents versus G2 in the final.
I have a sneaking suspicion it's going to be Heroic Cloud9, and I have no basis behind that.
I think Heroic are going to lose to Astralis. I really do.
Part of me hopes that happens, because I think that would be great, as after the last 2 years, it's the Astralis I am inevitable shit of like, you're Heroic, you got your 2 years, you 3 years or whatever being good, I'm back. Big Danish daddy Astralis is back. On the other hand, fuck it. I don't want to see Astralis get anything good.
Yeah,
so.
Basically. I really hope Axel's here for playoffs, man. If Axel's here, Vitality Cloud9 is an uber banger.
Oh my, it's a banger either way, right? Like so here's the thing.
I think Vitality just smash them if they have Buster. I think they just rip them apart.
I think you're probably right, But I think that that's the worst game of playoffs, and I don't think that there's any other game that comes particularly close. I think if you wanted to pick a weekend of Counter-Strike watching, this would be it. Like, yeah, this is pretty goddamn close.
Ends versus Vitality will be a phenomenal game.
Yeah.
G2 versus Astralis. I really think Astralis are going to do Heroic. And I think I just do. I just don't see Heroic beating them at all. I really don't. I don't think Heroic have looked that good at this event. I think they have. I think they're flawed, and I think Astralis will beat them.
All right, let's talk about the last bit that we need to talk about today. We have TSM, historic organization, who trying to come back into Counter-Strike with the most mediocre team ever. Of Inters, Jax, Valda, Modo, and Cypher. Let's be very clear. I don't think either of us think Cypher's mid, but the rest of the team is.
We've seen him play at one big event, and he was very good.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him on a better team to see if he is actually good.
Either way. Exataz, former Vitality coach, then G2 coach. Very bald man, was supposed to be the coach for this team, and he no longer will be. And there's a big thread.
Big bit of drama.
So I'm going to just read the whole thing. So it's from KRL Stream, who's a French CS guy, which so HLTV put out. He's no longer part of the project. KRL put, Exataz is too professional to reveal his sudden departure, so I will do it. TSM does not want to pay for scouting and interviews he did to build this team for a month, and the team is supposed to meet for boot camp, which is eventually canceled because TSM believes that boot camp is only necessary before majors. Then Nell quote tweeted that and gave us about 20 paragraphs of more information.
Sorry, very quickly. I like the idea that his mate is like, oh, he's too professional to leak it. But he did tell me, so I'm going to leak it.
Yeah.
He's not that professional. It starts with,
it's even worse than that. But when I heard talk about it, I talked to Exataz. He asked me not to talk about it. But why? Let me explain let me explain it. And he basically goes into the fact that he left TSM because he didn't want drama and stuff. So the longer story of it turns out to be like TSM didn't have him on an actual contract. He did all the work for this team. They had an oral agreement that this was going to be like he'd get paid for scouting and interviews and putting the team together and stuff. Didn't do that. And then they told him that there was going to be a boot camp where all the players would meet each other and get their shit together before they started to like really play together. Which we've seen that with like big roster moves that generally they will do some sort of big boot camp. I believe Navi just did one with their whatever the fuck this is. And so we see that they were going to do that. And then TSM came back and went, no, I don't think so. And so Exataz, it seems, felt like he wasn't actually running the team that he was told he was running, and such is not being part of the project. Question is, does TSM now go and find a new coach, or does TSM
find a new roster?
Yeah, or does TSM find a new roster? Does Exataz now go, look, I built this roster that I really like, and you may believe in me, because Exataz does have a lot of success that he's had before. You may believe in me, and if you believe in me, then you should believe in this roster. Pick me and this roster up.
So, 2 points on that. One, I'm pretty sure at least some of the players have signed contracts. And two, the roster shuffle's ended.
Hold on, I'm sorry. We have breaking news. Cloud9 CSGO has tweeted, Axile is back for IEM Cologne playoffs.
Excellent. All right. Vitality Cloud9 is a giga banger. That's the quarter fucking finals, man. This playoffs is going to bang. Anyway,
back to your TSM thing. Sorry, I opened Discord for half a second. Harry had sent it, and
roster shuffle's over. I don't know who's going to pick up these players now, like, especially somebody like Cypher, where like he's made his move to TSM. Like, that's the big money move for him. Like, he can't really afford for this move to fall through.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the easiest way to do this is to actually just see what will come. There's no great prediction that either of us could make here, because TSM was supposed to be adding a team into the league as opposed to like taking a new team or switching some players, that this was an addition. So it would be curious to see if another team wanted to make an addition into Counter-Strike. A little bit weird. We'll see. That's going to be it for us for the week, though. We will be back again next week with Cologne End. We'll talk about all this stuff. We'll have this. We've got a bit of a break before we've got like big events again. So we've got Sydney qualifiers is mostly
Gamers 8, right?
Yeah, it's mostly Sydney qualifier for the next like 2 weeks or so. We have Gamers 8 on the 2 weeks from when we're recording this on the 2nd, so it'll be on the 16th, and then we talk about Pro League in 4 weeks. So it'll be a little bit of a weird thing. Gamers 8 also is it a real tournament this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of decent teams there, but I'm not sure how much attention I'll be paying to it.
Yeah. We'll talk about Gamers 8 as it comes to it, but until that point, you can see us again next week. You can find us on Twitter you can find us on X at Logan Rapp, at AZ Esk, and at Reed TLDR. We'll see you all next week.